Hello everybody, my name is Canton. This is now the third time that we've started this because apparently my brain isn't working. So I'd like to introduce everybody who's joined.
Hi, I'm Becky Newbra, aka Bobo Bex.
Hello, I'm Cornanimal.
Hello, I am Epi Canis, and let me repeat that, it's Epi Canis and not Epic Anus.
It never gets old.
Howdy, folks. It's 5150, and you'll have to bear with me today. I've got a cold, so I may be interrupted by coughing.
And we also have John in as a listener. Let's mosey on through the show, the summary of the shows that was going on. 10.86 was the HBR Community News, not a lot really to say about that. Then we had another one of City's interview from FOSCON, and there's a few more of them in the queue ready to come up. We also had a show from Ahuka from PangaCon 2012, and that was followed by a Sky SQL talk about MariaDB, which was at the GNU Linux Fest Northeast. The rounding off the week was a Deep Geek News, that was 1090. Following week started off with one of our big contributors here to Hacker Public Radio, Dave. Unfortunately, can't be with us tonight.
Wasn't this also his first one, Ken?
It was, yes, actually, it was. But he's done a massive amount for us on the behind the scenes, so it was nice to see him come up. And you know what? This episode for me was, I've been using Vim for years, and I had no idea that plugins were even possible in it.
Yeah, I must admit, I was really surprised that this was his sort of first one, because he went into so much detail, and it was obvious that he was so knowledgeable about this subject.
It's always a pleasure to hear from Dave, actually. I'm glad he's on the call, or he isn't on the call tonight, because and I can waffle on about how brilliant he is. No matter what topic comes up, he seems to be at least an expert in it, or at least being very modestly very knowledgeable about the topics. So I'm trying to cajole him to do the missing episode 1, 2, and 3 of this series, to bring us all up to the level where we know that Vim actually has plugins.
Yeah, I was very impressed by this, and I don't spend I used to use Vi in college, but I'm afraid I've forgotten everything I knew about it, and I've dropped back to Nano as my CLI editor of choice usually, but this made me think about getting back into it, and it's I would just say, Dave, he was Klaatu-esque in his level of knowledge and authority on the subject.
You can't give higher praise than that, indeed. The following day, we had Mr. Gadgets with 1092 Ham Radio, the regional tech geek passion. And Mr. Gadgets, I am very cross with Mr. Gadgets, because I heard on other podcasts that they have been having, they've been talking to each other. And I have a long standing request out for Ham Radio guys to do a HBR episode over Ham Radio. I think that would be the coolest thing out. So, Mr. Gadgets, you owe me a show, dude.
Yeah, the thing I was amazed to learn over that they have the bandwidth to do actual streaming video now, because when we used to have a local computer club, one of the guys was a ham, and he just had like a GIF of his little that he made for himself, and the mnemonic for his letters. But he would talk about slow scan radio and how they could transfer it from computer to computer, but it was just like this little GIF and took like half an hour at that time. So somewhere the bandwidth must have really opened up in the last 20 years.
Yeah, it's again, I'm constantly fighting the urge to have another hobby, and I think this one would be so easy when you're living meters under sea level at the best of times. It would be so easy to justify this one. But we need it in case of disaster or something like that. Okay, moving on. 1093 was separation of presentation from content. Office software, Ahuka again, couldn't agree more. Absolutely could not agree more. In fact, I think half the people who use word processors have no clue how to use them in the first place.
Yeah, this has really made me think a lot, because usually my show notes, I just do them in LibreOffice and do a save as HTML, and I'm thinking, I'm going kind of cross purposes on the tags, doing it that way. Even if I had the tags right in LibreOffice, probably saving it as HTML is going to lose them. So I'm going to try to make an effort on the ones I haven't in the queue to finish up, or the ones I still haven't submitted yet, to see if I can't do the show notes the way he suggested, over from scratch using an HTML tool from the beginning.
For me, it was quite interesting, actually, bearing in mind some of the conversation that's been on the mailing list this month around contributing show notes.
Well, the show notes, yeah, it's a bit of a discussion. Getting show notes at all is fine, is great, is actually fantastic, because it saves me having to do them. That's not to say if you send in a show, we're very, 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 very those are very, very welcome. And it's not that big a problem to do the show notes. The only thing is it adds a bit of a delay, because if there's no show notes, then obviously I need to put it onto my MP3 player or my AUG player. And just listen to it so that I can then do the show notes, which brings a delay, of course. So then the next day we had, and N94, Linux, Beer, and Who Cares. This was an episode by Brian Brown, who I need to apologize for, too, because this was stuck in the queue. I had understood that it was an episode from 5150, and as such, I scheduled it as an episode for 5150. And it was obviously an episode by Briar Brown once you listen to it. But my apologies go out to both of you guys, and Red Dwarf, of course, as well, for not scheduling that correctly. Although you should get some slack, 5150, for not telling me sooner.
Well, I did submit it as Briar Brown - Linear and Who Cares, but I had forgotten at the time that, actually, I'm not sure Bio wanted this as his first one, because we've discussed later. He said, "No, don't you remember? I wanted it to go under you, because he has a couple projects he's mentioned that he wanted to, when he finally did them, he wanted to throw up in the queue first as his first one." So by pointing that out, like I said, it's between us actually doing this last spring and me getting the audio from him, and me adding the little explanation to the end and the intro and outro, that was probably at least a month. And anything that we discussed that night, if you've listened to the episode about who should take credit and all that when we recorded it, I was probably somewhat foggy on that in the first place the next day. And so, but I think really my saying, "Oh, that's a buyer episode, and that it might be eligible for being bumped up," I think he might actually be mad at me for, well, not mad at me, but he's like, "No, I want to do another one later and get bumped to the top."
Is Buyer Brown a radio DJ? Or does he podcast a lot?
He is on other shows. He does the Distro Watch weekly podcast, and if he's not a DJ, he should be.
I was just going to say, because for me listening, he was what I would associate being a typical radio DJ. The voice, it's very suitable for radio.
Well, I think he'll be very flattered to hear you say that. I think he works for a cable company right now, but I do think he has some experience in video and audio production.
He definitely has natural charm, and you definitely the kind of voice that you just want to listen to him. He's interesting. He's got the right amount of inflection in his voice, and he sells what he's talking about. You want to listen. So I thought he was really good.
Yeah, fantastic episode. And when he does submit his own show, we should bump it up. But, I mean, this here is a difficult one in general for queuing, and Epicanus has just, he's working on a submission page, which we'll talk about later on. But it's always difficult, because if there are multiple show hosts in a round table, what I will do is I'll look in and see, is one of those show hosts already on the system? And if they are, well, you know, they're the one who gets the main credit for it, and the rest, you know, are added in as bylines. And in the upcoming system, we will have the ability within the Atom feed to have person who kind of was responsible for posting the show, and then the contributors underneath that. So I'm not really sure what the best way to approach that, because in a show like Dev Random, if they bring on a new host every time, that will mean that new host is a new contributor to HBR, so they get dumped to the top of the queue, even though it's submitted by the same person the whole time. So anyway, it's one to think about and discuss later on. Let's move on with 1095, which was Talk Geek to Me News. And the following Monday, we had Frank Bell with KeePass X. And this is quite a cool application I didn't know that much about, other than it's a... there was an episode of HPR way before, and I know that because it's the one that all the spammers like to use. So that was kind of cool. Then the following day we had a Cyber Union podcast, which is a surprise, probably no one, was submitted by Deep Geek. And it was interesting to hear about that other podcast. And then we had a strange lady submitted a My Journey to Geekdom, which is in the long tradition of how I got into Linux, how I got into podcasting, how I became a geek. And it was Becky, well done. It was a fantastic show, and I must say I really did enjoy that. I enjoyed the whole we were taping Top of the Pops thing. That really that really was quite funny.
Thank you.
You know, she did that in one take as well. I was well impressed.
A born natural. We expect more shows from her in the future.
Definitely.
Yeah, it was one of the few episodes I got to hear this month, and it was actually pretty good. I liked it.
Thank you very much. I must admit, I did enjoy it. I enjoyed it more than I thought I did. I think I was stressing too much about what to talk about.
Yeah, the how I got into Linux thing, how I became a geek, how I got to podcasting is always a great introduction one, and people genuinely like to hear everybody's particular story, and yeah, it's cool. Now, the next one was Compilers Part 2, and where we all... I this is an excellent series. I really hope that Dave was making show notes for these, because he does listen to these, and I find it very interesting, but find myself struggling to follow along with a lot of the terminology. I don't know, maybe any of you guys are familiar with compilers and their ins and outs, but if you are, this is a definite listen.
Again, she's very knowledgeable, isn't she?
Oh.
I'm sorry, I'm assuming it's a she.
Yes, she
again, lots of details, but she keeps these really short as well, which is nice. It's bite-sized chunks.
Yeah, I don't think my brain would be capable of handling that in an hour-long episode. I listen, you know, really intently for a short period of time, and then the show's over, and okay, I think I may have got something out of that, like that if I was in a cocktail party where not that I ever go to cocktail parties or anything, but where compilers were being discussed, you know, I'd be able to hold my own for a moment or two while I quickly...
I think the only thing I would comment, though, is I think, doesn't she do them over some background music? And I sometimes find the background music a little bit distracting.
Yeah, that's been mentioned in the show notes, but she has had the three of them submitted before the feedback has come into her, so we'll see if she does that. And then we had episode 100. Oh, and I need to add to my apologies for the feed. There was a feed mix-up there with, I think it was 5150's show. Somehow got truncated by our script. What actually happened was the outro, for some reason, was not in line with the... It was encoded differently or somehow, and then when I passed it through Socks just but no thanks very much, and then just produced a show where everything was truncated. So a little bit of work needs to be done on our side with the encoding and stuff, but we will also be discussing that later on. And anyway, Mr. Gadget's episode was, I titled it Why Android Tablets Suck, and unfortunately, show notes are not as detailed as I would like for that, but I will be updating them as well. Then 5150, yes, recovery of an encrypted drive on an Ubuntu system, this I will be bookmarking. I made a mental note to myself that to know exactly which at least podcast I heard this on, because I know this will happen to me some stage.
Well, since this happened to me, and I actually recorded it several months after I took the notes, when I sat down and did some new podcasts, but yeah, I was thinking of you when this happened, because you've, Ken, you've always been a big advocate of using the built-in encryption, and this isn't the first time I've seen it go belly up on a system. At least this time it was recoverable, where if you did a whole drive encryption, I'm not sure if there's any way to get it back, but once I learned how to do it, it was relatively trivial, just time consuming. But yeah, I said, man, I'm going to bring that up to Ken when we get to it.
Yeah, I'm very glad you did. I do use whole drive encryption for the most part. I've started using encrypted file-based systems now for syncing my stuff to the cloud. So I mount my drive to cloud, and then I use a further encrypted drive on top of that, so that every file can see a directory structure and a file structure, but the directory structure and the file structure themselves are both encrypted. So I was thinking, yes, that's a nice one to have. I might do an episode on that too sometime. The following day we had, oh yes, Door-to-Door Geek with speech impediments. And you know that part in all the feel-good movies where all the students stand up and start applauding? I really was doing that at the end of this episode.
Yeah, I agree. I think this was a very brave episode.
This is probably one I need to listen to.
Yeah. He basically just, it was a heart-to-heart about, living with speech impediments, and basically I agree with him. Anybody who slags somebody off for having a speech impediment is a dick. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah, I must admit, I did think initially we were going to get a full-on rant about it. And you know, like, you're sort of sat there listening, almost cringing for him. But I think, yeah, the way he held it together and how he's taken the different steps to actually improve his speech impediment, you know, with his podcasting 5 times now a week, you know, and just constantly, you know, looking at ways of improving it.
I think he's succeeding too, because he sounds better than a lot of people that don't have a speech impediment.
Yeah, that's right. There was like no ums, there was no ahs, there was hardly any ticking over any of the words. I mean, I think I would have struggled to actually have known that he had a speech impediment.
Right. I mean, I've been looking forward to listening to this one. I'm sorry to say I haven't got to it yet, but well, I think especially in talking about tech topics and not having perhaps completely detailed notes in front of us. I've had that experience that you get to the technical term and you know what it is and it escapes you right at that moment, and it's you wind up saying the thing that does the thing, and you know, so imagine that being everything, or well, I don't know if it's everything, but I mean, you know, well, I've been on cast with Door and watched him struggle with that, and I agree, he's been very brave to talk about it.
And it's just amazing. It's fantastic that he is so knowledgeable and is such a force for, you know, good within the podcasting community, and here he is fighting this, not accepting it. Yeah, inspiration. I love these shows, these inspirational shows, and it's pretty cool. Okay, enough said. Moving on. Thoughtfulness in defense of media free retardation. Wow, what an episode this was! I actually had to re-listen to this because it was divided up into very, very nice different chunks, and it was almost was reminded me quite a lot of Lost in Bronx. It was more a theater production than an episode. Very, very well done. Congratulations, Epicanus, on this episode.
Yeah, that guy just didn't know when to shut up, though. Just on and on and on.
Yeah, fine. HPR, we have had 3.5 hour shows, no big deal. We've had 11 hour shows, no big deal.
You're gonna have another one this year?
Yeah, 24 hour one on New Year's Eve.
Yeah, I don't know if people are still up for that. We'll have to see.
I've taken the day off work.
Fantastic. Right. Well, it's you and me then. That'll be grand.
No eggnog for you.
No. But there you go. Back to this episode. Fantastic, brilliant, thought-provoking right off the bat. And also, you really did put me in the place. I've always had the attitude, well, here in Europe, we don't have to worry about the MP3 thing. And then a big slap in the face for that. And yes, there is patents, or at least requirements for them here in Europe as well. So with that in mind, I would like to highlight the fact that we have... we have highlighted the fact that we support Og Speaks and MP3. There are now Og Speaks and MP3 links in every episode. And in addition to that, on our syndication page, which is our RSS page, we have links promoting the Og and Speaks feed as our favorite formats. And then we have, under the MP3 feed, we have a link to the patent encumbered rundown there at Wikipedia. And I also got email during the month from Mordancy about the fact that we don't have we didn't have a full MP3 Speaks and Og feed, the full massive gigabyte one. Well, I was working on them and then I decided to stop working on it, and then the reason for that was I wanted to switch to Og feeds, or sorry, Atom feeds.
Wasn't there also discussion about FLAC as well this month?
Yeah, that's a different thing. We won't ever be providing the FLAC feed. That was just for the input. We need to talk about that as well, actually, in the show.
And of course, eventually an Opus.
Yes. I want to talk to you about that as well. And the technical discussions about these audio formats, as Bubba Bex pointed out, should really go to the dev mailing list, which we will discuss there. Probably just to touch on it now, they upload, rather than having people having to encode the MP3, the Og, and the Opus or the Speaks feed or whatever, we are suggesting that you upload one file with the media and then we will transcode it from that file. If you have access to a good quality version of that file, and then please send it to us in FLAC, ideally encoded with --best, or a WAV file if you can't, or one of the highly encoded Og or MP3. Basically, send us the best file you have, and if you have a choice, send us the a FLAC file encoded with --best. That's what we're saying with the upload.
Yeah, it might. If what comes appropriate. I think it'd be a good idea if we gave some examples on the website, or maybe if you recorded a podcast, Ken, going that this is where to find those encoding settings in, say, Audacity, because I'm going to imagine that most people who record their podcast in front of the computer, that's probably the biggest common denominator of what folks use. Maybe for some of the other popular recording and editing programs, they also put examples in there for that, because I know how to do FLAC, but I'd have to go look for the settings for the --best.
Yeah, I'll definitely do that if we decide that that's the way we want to go. I intend to put that into the how-to, at least for Audacity, and ideally what I'd like is have something like a video on the website. Welcome to HPR. Here's how you can record a show. You pick up the phone and you do the phone thing. Got one of these, Sansa clips. You can do it this way, or if you've got a phone, you can do it this way. But that's definitely something that we should do. Let's move on with the shows, and come back to this during the course of the discussion of the on the mailing list. Is that okay?
Sounds good.
Okay. Then Syndicated Thursday, we had Tuck's Jam episode 15, and that's
Kevy.
Yep, that's Kevy, who is, you might know from other podcasts such as Grimmins. Wanted to give him some love this month. Then we had Talk Geek to Me News, Deep Geek. And then on another 5150 episode, this is the one that got truncated for some strange reason. Farmer by Zadell, which was a classic episode, actually. You just described my living room table.
I'm glad you enjoyed that one, Ken. And I do want to apologize for that one and the previous one, because when the recovery one came out, Pokey was on Oddcast Planet the next day saying, well, what'd you do to it? And what had happened when I was recording, I was trying to get as small as I could, and it seemed to me that the remove silences settings in Audacity were not aggressive as I would have liked, and I went way too far. And probably when I was doing my hunts, when you're zoomed in really really close on the WAV file, those gaps between words look a lot bigger than they actually are. So on the two that I submitted this month, that's why they sound a little strange, that I was far too aggressive removing the silences between words. And that's really my first step in my editing process. And when I was in Audacity and playing just short clips back to myself, I swear it sounded fine in there, but I didn't pick it up until the next day that I'd done the remove silences, done the leveling, done the compression, had it all done, and listening to it on my Sansa clip, and then it really showed up, perhaps because it was a lesser quality reproduction method. But by that time, I was just I was up against it on time, and went ahead and threw them up there as they were. So if it's a little hard to listen to for anybody, I apologize.
No, it was fine. I didn't notice anything wrong with the audio at all. But
the most memorable bit of this episode for me was the squeeze block intro.
Yeah,
did you do that yourself, 5150?
No. That was Mr. X. He submitted it that way. Well, he submitted it. It was part of his submission for episode 1000. And I thought, I knew he was Scottish. I didn't pull out there. I thought it was a bagpipe when he was talking over it. But he said, no, that's an accordion. I asked him for that just the music separately, and he obliged, and I also uploaded that to the FTP, so you should have it, Ken, if you ever wanted to post it on the site
it's under media. If you do hackerpublicradio.com/media, you'll get it.
It was definitely unexpected when I heard it.
It's been used a few times, actually.
So, 5150, I'll take it you've never been subjected to actual bagpipes.
Well, my ancestors were.
If anybody, by the way, wants to submit versions of the intro or outro, please feel free to do that. Then, moving on, the following day was Compilers Part 3 from Sigflup, and then we had Mike Hingley with the second episode, I think, What's in My Bag. This is another one that Dave Yates started, actually. It was a rundown of his tech stuff. And a lot of kit, actually. I felt like, I think I want to go mug this guy.
Don't mug him for the broken iPod that he got from his wife.
Oh, that's true. And then the next day was a AstroCon 2012 Virtues of the Open Source Telephony Platform. And this one was another one where it was Sons of Man 1, who was a host already. Although I didn't catch that because I did a straight grep, including the one, and his handle is without the one. And it was a sort of roundtable report specific for recorded for Hacker Public Radio. But he had posted it on his website, and the current rules say that if it's posted on your website, whatever. But anyway, it came out on the syndicated Thursday day. So this is one of the weird ones that provides interesting edge case when trying to decide how to schedule it. And we'll be talking more about the whole scheduling thing. But it was a very good episode. They had Alison, the voice of Asterix, actually on the show. And you know, it was a good history of you know what you can do and things. And I actually heard Door to Door Geek on another podcast talking about getting Asterix running on a Raspberry Pi, actually. So pretty cool there. And the following day, probably people haven't heard it yet because it was just released yesterday, was Aku Akondike, who we all have to congratulate. He has just become a father of a little baby girl. So big congratulations to him. Then on the Doctor Who restoration team, absolutely, absolutely fascinating what they're doing and the whole episode. I always download the shows twice, once speeded up doubly and just once as a regular show so I can, the regular one is just so I can confirm the MP3 works, and the OGG feed I speed up twice. And this one I actually listened to both just so I could get everything. This just fascinating.
I listened to this today while I was making the Christmas cake in the kitchen, and whilst I do consider myself a Doctor Who fan, I wasn't aware actually of some of the detail that they'd gone into the fans to actually recreate some of the lost episodes, you know, taking photographs of screen captures.
Yeah, apparently that guy was taking those photographs and they had the original audio, but they didn't have the film, but because they had a photograph of the episode, they were able to draw cartoon, you know, make an animation of what the episode was about and recreate the whole lot. Absolutely fascinating, the level of commitment to something like that.
Yeah, and again, where they've also used CGI to replace, to make some of the episodes better, you know, whereas you wouldn't have had that originally.
Yeah, I'm debating whether that's a good thing or not, because you lose a lot of the original charm of it if you go back and, you know, put 3D CGI in.
Well, it was never good when Star Wars did it, was it?
Yeah, but that was part of the charm of the whole thing, was that it was, you know, pretty clunky. Yeah, I don't know, maybe. Anyway, that's a rundown of the episode, folks. Thank you very much. Nothing else happened on the mailing list at all. It was very quiet.
Liar!
Oh my god, you can go months and months and months, nothing's on the freaking mailing list, and then all of a sudden we've had Bobex come on with her first, this seems very quiet, is the mailing list dead? And then it started. But no.
Yeah, I'm really sorry about that.
It obviously was not, your fault, and indeed it was nobody's fault. For people who have managed to make it this far into the show, what essentially has happened, and you'll realize it when you're listening to some of the episodes that 5150 contributed. He contributed quite a lot of episodes in one go, or you know, in a short space of time, and they got added to the queue, and the queue is being processed according to the rules, except for the Buyer Brown. But I mean, sometimes you have edge cases, so that could have happened anyway. So what you had this month was a lot of shows that have been a long time in the queue, and they were referring to events that had happened in the past, not just a little bit in the past, quite a lot in the past. So the question 5150 prompted, you know, I don't know, 50, if you want to say, you know, what happened, basically there's more shows in the queue.
Well, essentially, Ken put on the mailing list, you know, hey, we need to get some more shows produced that the queue is running towards the end. There were a couple things. One thing I didn't realize that sort of the stopper been pulled out of the tub as far as the queue, because yeah, it's starting to get closer to critical right now, getting down with the original content. Well, I shouldn't say original content shows. Ones who don't fall into a specific category, syndicated or
shows produced exclusively for HBR.
Right, and there's some of the stuff that's not to say that the syndicated aren't, some of the other a lot of the other series ones are produced for HPR, but I guess what I'm saying, I responded on the mailing list. Ken, you know, I have had three shows plus two that I participated in as syndicated or the Buyer Brown, you know, under trying to get on Buyer Brown's name. And one syndicated one I participated in, I said, I gave you five shows 4 months ago, and they've been sitting there at the bottom of the queue ever since. And I meant it to be a little more lighthearted than I came off. And Roy, I want to apologize once again. I was kind of specific in my response as to which ones I thought that had been on and were... at least part of them were available on other sites about the same time, and I think there was some other ones I was confused about that they were exclusive content for HPR that wasn't available other places. And the Full Circle stuff, I thought it was just re-edited for HPR, and I guess my understanding now is that material is exclusive to HPR, but. I was kind of a little pointed on what I thought that, hey, we've been running these other things and it's created a bottleneck that the regular shows can't get through, and now we're at the point where, you know, this I've contributed stuff and it's been there for months and now Ken wants more, which is, you know, I know was not specifically directed at me to, yes, 5150, we need you to make more shows. So like I said, I was more abrupt or not as tactful in my response as I would have liked to I still meant it to be lighthearted as a joke, you know, hey, you know, I gave you, you know, there's still my stuff sitting there, so that's and it kind of, like I said, it kind of blew up from there.
Yeah, no, but what you did highlight is, first of all, there's absolutely no need to apologize for making comments at all about that, especially the Buyer Brown one being stuck in the queue, if there was any doubt about the scheduling rules not being followed. But to give some people some background about what's actually going on, when you submit a show to Hacker Public Radio, if you go to hackerpublicradio.org/calendar.php, you'll see a webpage on there, and you have a list of the upcoming shows, followed by that you have the scheduled slots that are reserved, and then you have the scheduling rules. Now, at the moment, we follow the scheduling rules as described there, which means that regardless of whether it's me or Pokey or Klaatu or anybody else who posts the shows will come out in the same order. So, admittedly, everybody can make mistakes about, you know, is this roundtable, you know, a new show or is it whatever, but we can discuss that. Apart from that, but for by and large, 99.9% of the shows should follow the rules. And those are, at the moment, time-critical shows, which are a host has requested a particular slot or it contains newsworthy information. So things like that where we have used it in the past has been for the Yuri Gagarin 50th episode or episode 1000. We wanted to reserve a particular day. And you know, April Fool's stuff traditionally goes out on a particular day. So that's that one. Then we have scheduled slots, and I want to come back to that in a minute. Then we have the new hosts who get bumped to the top of the queue if they're new, bit of bad and boom. I posted a show and it comes out shortly and it encourages people to come in. And then it's HPR content. So this is content produced for HPR that's not released anywhere, or if it is released anywhere, it's released after it's been uploaded to our FTP server, and that's done on a first-come, first-served basis. Now, the whole point of the scheduled slots, let's have a look through those. We have the first Monday of the month is this show, which is HPR Community News. It is, again, HPR-only content. It's not released anywhere else. It is for HPR only. So therefore, you know, that's it's just a day where we, you know, where people who mightn't be accessing the website, we get to talk about what's going on the HPR community, bringing you that information. So I think that's valid. We have on the webpage the first Thursday of every month is Sunday Morning News Review, which is not correct. We've already informed them that we will no longer be syndicating their show. Nothing personal. It's just that we had a lot of requests from other podcasts to get on, and it wasn't fair on them. They know to them when Sunday Morning News Review had their own slot. But, you know, absolutely, we promoted them for a while, and then now they're their own show with a fantastic fan base. So we have every Thursday, we have Syndicated Thursday, which is talks and other works of note. And this was put in specifically because we don't get enough shows ourselves. We do not have enough shows contributed to Hacker Public Radio to be able to feed 5 shows a week. And essentially the big discussion that went on was surrounding this, in that in order to limit the number of, in order to still produce 5 shows a day, in order to produce 5 shows a week, what we have done is essentially restricted the output so that it's 3 shows a week, in actual fact, that we produce, because one of them is Syndicated Thursday and the other one is Talk Geek to Me News. Now, Talk Geek to Me News is a show that is syndicated, and it actually falls outside kind of the rules, actually, a little bit, in that when it started off, Deep Geek was and still is a regular contributor to Hacker Public Radio as a host, and he produces a tech-only version of his show for Hacker Public Radio, which is basically just edits out the other parts and puts it in. And that has been vital for us in keeping the flow of shows going so that we would be able to produce the amount of shows that we needed, especially in the ramp-up from last year in 2011. We had quite a lot of difficulty in getting shows onto the network. And by quite a lot of difficulty, what I mean is I would go on and email Klaatu and say, Klaatu, I need shows, and Klaatu would supply a show. Or in the morning, there would be one show left, and I would record 2 shows that day for release, and then beg people to send in shows. And we were constantly wasting resources on Hacker Public Radio for just getting shows, nothing else, just feeding the shows in. As a stopgap measure, Syndicated Thursday took off the pressure a bit, and Talk Geek to Me News also took the pressure off, because now we're releasing 3 shows a week instead of 5.
Well, like I said, again, for the record, Ken, I was never questioning the Syndicated Thursday or Talk Geek to Me, but there was a... Well, unfortunately, I think that there were a lot of Fest-related shows, or not unfortunately, but especially the Northeast. And I try not to offend Jonathan Nadeau on this, but Pokey was there, and he kind of brought those talks to us. Recordings of the talks from the Fest, but it's my understanding that they were also, well, I know they were published about the same time over on Frost Media, and I think the idea was that they over here on HPR they would get a wider audience, but it did create like a 2-week bottleneck in holding back other shows. And I was sort of questioning, I loved hearing all those, but I'd already downloaded them off of Frostcast, so that maybe my thought of doing one or two of those and then say, if you like this content, you know, this is over there on Frostcast, and actually driven some people over to Jonathan's site. But like I said, that you know, it's kind of a narrow thing, but there were a few, and I'm not questioning any of your stuff, Ken, that you did from
Og Camp.
Og Camp, yeah, that was great, And like you said, it's timely, and that, you know, that it was all new content. I'm not questioning that. And the only other thing I was really questioning was finishing up last year's Odd Camp stuff from, this is one of these times I can't think of the, but I thought that stuff they were already brought, had already been broadcast on that other network. And am I right in saying that they do their own shows, and then the stuff that they do for us is completely different?
No. Actually, there's a few things there that were not exactly correct. The talks for the FES, and all the talks, also the Odd Camp ones, they went out on the syndicated Thursday days. So there were recordings from Odd Camp, which were recorded only for HPR by myself, and they hadn't gone out. And there's still some more of them to go out. But they will go out as regular days because they were regular shows recorded by a regular host. They were in the queue, and they're following the rules of the queue. Everything that has happened has been following the rules of the queue. The shows from Jonathan Nadeau's Fest have been going out on the syndicated Thursday day. So if you follow the rules, whether they were there or not, wouldn't have affected whether your shows or anybody else's shows were faster or not. Once we have the concept of having a syndicated Thursday. Is that clear?
Okay, I see that now then. I was thinking those seemed like they all came out together. But I can see that then. It just seemed like for quite a while, and I'm not sure if we could go back to the calendar showing everything, because it just, like I said, it seemed to me like the calendar did not move for a month of time.
Yeah, the calendar, another thing that I changed during this month was, if you go to calendar.txt, actually, if you, instead of calendar.php, you type calendar.txt, what I had was a calendar that I used for the scheduling. And everything that's in there is based on the order in which it was received, not the order in which it was going to be sent out. And the reason for that is so that I know there are other rules as well under the scheduling rules, which is, I'll just read it out here. Syndicated shows are released on their own schedule and follow slot. Okay, HPR shows are released based on the following rules given the producer and the HPR priority, while avoiding having any one host or series repeated in the 1 week. So that's why, say, for example, you upload five shows and there's nothing in the queue, then, or if there's five shows, you will get a show one slot each week. That's why your shows, even though they were uploaded in one bunch, are being released on the Monday, and then the next Monday, and then the next Monday, and then the next Monday, is because, you know, we spread out a host over the particular weeks. These are the rules as they are now. And then the whole discussion, which I'm very glad you brought up, actually, because it did highlight something that was beginning to annoy me, was people were saying, well, I'm not going to contribute a show because it'll be 3 months before the show comes out. And, you know, that's a valid point. There is a reasonable expectation of, you know, if I upload a show, it's going to come out in a month or two, you know, or it's going to come out fairly fast. So I'm very, very glad you brought up the point. And what you highlighted in the system is that the rules, that the scheduling rules, need to be modified. And that's what the whole discussion is about.
Isn't there also, Ken, a danger where sort of fests and bar camps all tend to happen around the same time of year, you know, around the world, that there will be certain months where you will get a flood of sort of like fest-type talks submitted, but then you could go months with not having any?
Yeah, it's fairly... if we deal about the fests in two different ways, if we say that... And 5150 did bring up an excellent point, actually. There, say they if we were doing, you know, Fest XYZ, the knitting fest comes up and somebody is there and finds all the talks very interesting. Well, what we should do and what we should continue to allow to do is somebody to submit one of those, a representative example, and, you know, ideally if with a voiceover at the front, this is a fest that I went to, it was very interesting, the talks are brilliant. And you can get them here. Here's an example of one that I really enjoyed. Here you go, listen to that, blah, 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 blah. And then at the end, yeah, you can get them over here and all the rest of that stuff. No reason why we couldn't have that. Now, to talk about the other type of fests, are the fests where HPR goes and somebody gets on their butts drives or takes a plane and actually attends the fest and was walking around with an interview. Now, what we had last year was, as Odd Camp, was those shows got released in the regular schedule. And then we had the complaints from people, well, you know, it's just taken ages for them to come out. It actually took longer than a year and they're still not out for all those shows to go through the queue. So this year we said, well, we're going to reserve maximum of 5 slots within 2 weeks of the fest. So you go, you have then maximum 2 weeks in order to get everything edited, everything on, and if you don't make it after that, well, you know, tough, they just go into the regular queue. So at Odd Camp, you're going to get a bit, and then, say, one that we tend to go to is Northeast Lennox Fest or the Southeast Lennox Fest, but those ones tend to be a month or two apart. So I don't know if there's going to be actually that many of them.
Can I just jump in?
Yes, of course.
Because obviously I was at Odd Camp last year and Odd Camp this year. And the way you recorded your interviews last year was completely different than how you did it this year. I think this year you were a lot cuter about it. They were definitely more sort of soundbite-ish, a lot shorter, and I actually probably feel that you were able to capture more of the feel of Odd Camp in those shorter soundbite-type interviews.
Absolutely. You live and learn. You live and learn. And, I mean... Took
but
a book
other fests do that. You know, if you go to a higher Linux fest, could the people that jump on the plane and take their interviewing equipment, could they not sort of learn from that and maybe just do sound bites from there?
Absolutely. That's what and that's what Clatu does, actually. He will do 4 or 5 shows together and, you know, submit them. And I think that's what we need to say to people if they are going to these fests. You've got the 5 days. You know, whether you use all 5 days, if you only have 5 interviews, maybe 2 days is enough. But at least we've given the option of somebody who's paid money, their own hard money, and, you know, not gone to any of the things in the fest, not enjoy, well, you know, not participated in the normal way. They've taken their time out and they've given their time up for HBR. Well, then there's a reserve of shows. And it's not just from the interviewer's point of view. It's from the person who's been interviewed as well, because quite often there's, you know, you go, here, talk to me about your project, you know, we'll pimp it here in Hacker Public Radio. When's it going to be out? Well, you know, it could be out in 4 months. So at least with that block reserved, you go, it'll be out next week. And then you're done. Then, you know, there's a certain feedback. At least for interviews, I would like to modify the queuing system and so that interviews would be put into a higher priority queue, so that if people do want to interview somebody of note in the community, that they would get the option of having that released sooner than a regular show. And that was one of the topics that was on in the discussion for the mailing list. And I'm trying desperately to produce a text file synopsis of what was discussed on the mailing list just for the listeners. But we're struggling with the cPanel install. The archiving isn't working, so I'm now... At least I've got a text file with the email messages in it, and hopefully we'll be able to produce a file that we can include in this.
And at somewhere in there, at the risk of sounding completely contradictory with my rant that started all of this, that if it gets to the point where we're out of shows or getting, it looks like there's, were less than a week's left or something like that, I have no objection if you can grab, say, talks from this year's self or this year's OLF off of archive.org, if they've even been posted yet or wherever they go, and slap those into the feed if it looks like everything's going to drain out.
Well, actually,
excuse me, and I'm sorry, I didn't want you to, I muted myself because I coughed. Also, and I made a suggestion on the mailing list. I think we had a lot of fun. I certainly did, listening to the old Ben Revs and everything in preparation for the 1024, and I think it would be appropriate maybe once a month or once every 2 months to grab one of those old classic shows that the newer folks weren't exposed to originally, and throw one of those into the feed as well.
Okay, just to clarify, what I'm suggesting doing now is dropping dropping the artificial limitations on Hacker Public Radio, which means dropping Syndicated Thursday and dropping Talk Geek to Me News. That would mean we would be releasing 5 shows a week. Now, none of these changes, by the way, are going to occur until at least the 1st of January. At least the 1st of January. And the reason for that is we need time for people who don't follow the mailing list, which you should join, Hacker Public Radio. Go to the main page. There's a link there for mail lists. Unfortunately, the slash mail list doesn't work because of our cPanel issues. And join the mailing list and follow this discussion and make your voice heard, because it's the mailing list that decides this, not us. Now, I will advise, as somebody who is following the queue, I will say, well, we've had difficulty in the past with this, so how would you deal with that situation? So it's, when I'm saying stuff on the queue, it is proposals, feel free to knock it down. But generally, the gist of it is that I would like to have reserve shows. I would like to have few different levels of shows available to me. Shows that that would come in a high priority queue, so you would still have people being able to reserve particular slots for special events, whether that's a date or you want to reserve the New Year Eve, you want to do a show on that, or Valentine's Day, I don't know. That's fine. You want to put something critical out, that's also fine. So long as you don't do it too often, you know, and that would be kind of up to getting a feel from the mailing list, or, you know, if it's obvious, something like there's a vote going through and we need people to get active, well then fair enough, that should happen. There should still be the concept of scheduled slots. We spoke about scheduled slots, but we forgot to mention Linux in the Shell, actually, is every second Tuesday, and Dan has taken a little bit of a sabbatical. He's moving house and moving job, I think. He's moving house, definitely, so he's taken some time off from that. But that to me, Linux in the Shell is once every 2 weeks. It's HPR content generated for HPR, so even if you follow the rules and just schedule, put it ahead of time, it would still be fine according to the rules. The only other thing that we're getting rid of would be syndicated Thursdays, which would mean that instead of that sort of show being on a regular day, it would need to be submitted by hosts. So instead of saying, Ken, I want this coming up on the syndicated Thursday queue, it would be you would need to submit it yourself and add it to the series syndicated Thursday, or not syndicated Thursday, but other Creative Commons works or something. And then I would like reserve shows. These are shows that we can have in the pool, and I need about 20 of them. I have two at the minute, one by Klaatu, one by myself. I need 20 of these shows, which are shows that will not be aired unless the queue goes down. Then the regular shows, obviously, because we have 5 shows a week then. In this situation, we will have 5 shows a week. Currently, we have 10 shows in the queue. So that would mean that despite all the shows that people have sent in this month, and there's been quite a few, we only have 2 weeks shows. So if we are committed to removing the bottleneck that we have applied on the queue so that we are releasing 5 shows a day, then we need to be able to fill that, which means I need 5 shows. If 5 shows a week are going out, 5 shows a week need to be coming in. Okay? Just be 100% clear there. 5 shows a week go out, 5 shows a week need to come in. And I'd like to have, just for my own sanity here, you know, think about it yourself. You've got to completely, for the last 2 years, you have not missed a day. And then suddenly there's no shows in the queue. Just think yourself the heartbreak that it is pulling in shows, begging people for shows. It's really annoying, really frustrating, and a real waste of time. So if we're committed to having things come in and go out faster, then we need 5 shows a day going out, 5 shows a week coming in. Yeah? Now, sometimes after the New Year's show, we got a lot of people submitting shows at one big burst. So then there's a backlog of 2 months. So that needs to be cleared out. But what happens is the queue is it's feast and famine. During the summer, there's nothing happening. There's no shows coming in at all. And then after the summer holidays are over, lots of shows start coming in again, which is great. So we need to keep that up. And 5150, just last comment, and I'll stop talking, honestly, is that I don't think it's fair on other shows to go, well, if we start running out of shows, we're not going to play your shows. But if we don't have shows to fill slots on our network, what we'll do is we'll take your shows and we'll play them. And I don't think that's fair. I think we either We will promote other shows by adding them to the queue. If a new podcast comes up, I don't have any problem, you know, playing one or two of their shows. You know, if somebody submits the show twice, fine, or you know, even once or whatever, so that people get exposure to it. But it's not fair just because I run out of shows in the middle of the summer, then I start playing shows from other networks or from other podcasts that I wouldn't have played, you know, 2 months earlier because we were busy and we didn't need them. And I'll stop talking.
No, I can certainly see you there, and I guess I didn't realize things I complained about were always on syndicated Thursday. It just, I probably, before I submitted that, I should have scrolled back through the shows and looked. It just didn't seem to be like for a while we were producing three, quote, regular shows a week. It seemed like they were, you know, four special shows a week and maybe one regular show.
I can completely understand where you got that, because there would have been an odd camp one, which was one from a show a year ago, and that was one that was produced by HBR host myself, so therefore it was in the regular queue, and I put five of them in, and because of my show, because of the rule avoiding one host or series repeated every week, that would come out on a, say like on a Tuesday, and then it would be on the next Tuesday, and the next Tuesday, and the next Tuesday, and the next Tuesday, so you would then have maybe HBR Community News, followed by a show of mine that was from Oddcamp, followed by Dan, perhaps, with Linux in the Shell, followed by a show of mine from Oddcamp, followed by Syndicated Thursday, which was Northeast Linux Fest or something, followed by Talk Geek to Me News. So you would, in that whole week, there would be no show, an ordinary show released, a HBR-produced show. But don't feel bad about this. You've highlighted something that's been bugging me, because it is annoying. You just listen to what happened last month. All these people who had contributed shows and were talking about festivals, submitting papers for festivals that had already been and gone. You know, we do need to speed up the flow of shows going through. So that begs the question, right? We have shows and we agreed to five shows, but at a certain point, we run out of reserve shows. Then what do we do? Now, 5150 there said we should... We should play syndicated stuff. But how long do we continue doing that? At what point do we say it's over? HBR, it was great. We had, I don't know, 27 long years of success. And then suddenly we cannot keep up with the five shows a week. And my proposal for that was we would have one final show in the queue, which would be the Goodbye, Thank You for the Fish episode.
The Doomsday episode.
Exactly. And my proposal was that we would record that on the New Year's, during the New Year's Eve's 24-hour extravaganza. We would say, you know, this is the final show. Thank you very much for listening to Hacker Public Radio. This is the final show. And if this show is ever played, we haven't had enough contributions from people and the whole series is over. Thank you very much. And then the end, once that show's posted, it would replace the main webpage with a HBR is shut down, thank you very much, and that would be the end of HBR as a project.
Do you ever foresee that happening, Ken?
Yes, I do. I do. I mean, five shows a week is 260 shows. I sent it as an email attachment on the mailing list was just a graph of what happened in 2010. And there wasn't enough shows. So what happened was there was syndicated content played. There wasn't. There was... 1 week there would be a show, the next week there would be two shows, the next week there'd be three shows or whatever. Some people are happy with that, but I've always had the feeling that to be a serious about podcasts, you say, I'm going to release my show every so often. And I want everybody, really want everybody to go back and listen to a show by Lost in Bronx. And it's entitled Old Soldiers. And it was released at a time when this was going on Hacker Public Radio. It was released at 2010-08-02, and it was about podcasting, pod fading, and ordinary voices saying extraordinary things. It inspired me to join the mailing list and say the original posting is actually archived on the mail archive. You can go back and read it and you say, well, my thought at that point was, is HBR dead? Yes or no? If it is, let's kill it. Let's put it to bed. Let's thank everybody for it and turn off the lights in a well-ordered fashion. And believe it or not, it is going to happen sooner or later. I mean, if somebody takes over, if we get this whole thing automated, if people start contributing shows, it mightn't happen for a long time. But at a certain point, everything comes to an end. It happened with BinRev. It happened with Radio Freak America. It happened with Infonomicon. You know, life gets in the way. I don't want it to happen. But as I said, if we have these doomsday shows available, that each year we can record another doomsday show that we can add. Well, we survived another year. Sorry, I fooled you. And hopefully we'll have 20 of those so that at the end we would have like 20 shows would correspond to basically a month of shows of saying goodbye to Hacker Public Radio down through the years. And I personally think that would be a great way to go. So the episode was HPR 560, and a link to that will be in the show notes.
And just looking at the calendar right now, and of course I said that doesn't include syndicated and slotted shows. I'm thinking a year ago we would have thought 10 shows in the queue would have been almost a comfortable amount. And like I said, can't credit Pokey enough for coming up with the New Year's Eve episode. And that just suddenly I remember last year after, in January, first we had 15 shows. Well, that's in the queue. That's incredible. And then 20, and then, you know, nearly 30 at a time. And we just thought, man, that's just outstanding. And I think we've been kind of, we were kind of spoiled there for a few months. And I said, and you got to credit Ken for all the work and all the scrambling he does and has done in the background to keep this thing running for the rest of us.
Are you not in danger, though, that your own rules are stifling you?
Yes, that's why I want to change them now.
But maybe it's a case of when you have a certain amount of episodes in a queue, there are no rules, it's purely on an upload basis. But when you get down to, say, just like the 10 shows or a certain amount of shows, that's when your rules apply for them bringing in syndicated shows.
Yeah, but what's the purpose? Why would we do that? Why would Hacker Public Radio then become a syndicated it would be a dead network, surviving on like a zombie. If you want to listen to syndicated shows, all you need to do is go to Hacker Media, which is another BinRev project which syndicates other hacker shows. Because then there would be no HPR content.
But at the moment, like I say, please, you know, bear with me and don't shoot me down in flames.
No, sorry if I'm coming across. I'm just passionate about that, that's all.
No, what I think a lot of this conversation has come about because, you know, your regular contributors, so your 5150s, your Pokies, your Klaatus, have gone ahead and recorded episodes that have then sat there for ages in a queue because of the rule situation. There's always an episode above them that will take precedence.
Yeah.
And you don't want to piss off your regular presenters.
No, that's absolutely true. But on the other hand, I don't want to piss off my regular presenters either by arbitrarily cherry-picking a show and having it, Ken decides what goes on the network. Ken doesn't decide what goes on the network. We, as a community, have come up with a set of guidelines, rules, about what should be scheduled. And regardless of whether it's me, 5150, or you that's scheduling the shows, they will come out in the same order. Now, if we're saying here as a community, which we are, that the queue, it's not working out properly, it can be honed, it's been going for 2 years, it's time to rejig it a little, well then, we should do that. But at the end of it, what I want to do is make a list of, here are the queue, here are the rules for releasing shows. So much so that anybody at all is at home following along, looking at the queue when shows come in, they will be able to predict accurately what show is going to come out and when. Or at least not taking new shows into account or things that bump up. But with given the same inputs, you should get the same output. And it's very important that we do this, one for two reasons, that we're fair and we're seen to be fair. But number two, we also want to schedule this thing. We want to script this thing.
What's pink and hard? A pig with a flick knife.
But I'm tish.
So anyway, that's. I think we've gone on enough about the scheduling situation. The fact of the matter is, though, folks, that regardless of what queuing system we use, there are only 10 shows in the queue right now. So I need people to sending shows. And what I'll be asking people to do is tell me if it's a show that you want in the regular queue or if it's a backup show. And I really would love something like 20 backup show ones. That would be fantastic. And if we had enough people putting into a backup show, I have no problem saying, okay, on Friday we will release one from the backup show, so at least that's not getting completely stale. So we will find out what Pokey's best eggs in the world are.
He's actually recorded that show?
Yes, he has, yeah. The best eggs in the world. And I've I haven't recorded a show. It's Tlatu who has said we can put one of his shows called Mud, M-U-D, that's all I'm giving you, into backup.
See, they sound like brilliant shows. Why are they not in the queue?
This is the point, Cornominal. It's feast or famine. From my point of view, it's feast or famine, right?
Just get them in the fucking queue.
Yeah, but then the queue will empty, and then HBO is over.
Well,
it takes about, between me asking for a show and getting shows in, it takes about 2 weeks for that to happen. So I need at least 2 weeks of shows to fill that buffer, or then we go dead.
And for anybody out there listening who is saying, oh, I'd like to hear those shows too, the way around that is to become a contributor. Then you'll have access to the FTP server, which works two ways. So if you happen to see when you're putting your show up, you see something on there, oh, I'd like to hear that, you can pull it down at the same time. So for those that would like to hear those special shows, well, you just have to be contributing shows often enough that you're on that FTP server and you see them as they're uploaded.
Ooh.
So it's almost like you have a if you're a signed up member, you've got access to those shows, but if you're not, you can't.
Not so much. You can also get to them via the web.
Ooh.
If you go to the contribute page, you'll get all the information. Anybody who's tech savvy enough to be on this network or be even listening to this has enough technical savvy know-how to get to those shows. So all those shows, yes, are available. Absolutely. Cornominal, you brought up a good point. This whole thing is just affecting me because I'm the one having blood pressure when the queue disappears down to one and then all of a sudden there's 15 shows again and I'm okay for 3 weeks and then I don't panic until 3 weeks time comes and the queue has gone down to one. It's the buffer, the backup shows are there so I don't have heart attacks.
Yeah, I understand why you're doing it, but I'm not going to tell you that you don't need them because I mean you've put them in place and you know, so that's up to you. But from where I'm sitting, it sounds like it's just like a self-imposed rule.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You know, and it may be, even though you're thinking, okay, so it's going to stop my blood pressure going through the roof, you know, there might be people in the community that it's not fair on, because tomorrow morning I might want my wife to cook me the best eggs in the world. But until I hear that episode, it's not going to happen, mate.
Absolutely.
Her eggs are bloody awful. I'm joking. She's going to hit me. Hang on, I'm moving out of range.
But if we did, we could always say, yeah, the backup shows we will keep, I don't know, 20 backup shows in the queue. And then when the 21st comes in, that one will be upped. It's not a problem. That's not a problem. You know, if we have enough shows, we can hibbity-jig it. But a lot of people have said, well, you know, you didn't need to release my show. That could have been released any time at all. It wasn't of importance. And that's good to know, but unless I know that beforehand, I can't take that into consideration when I'm doing the scheduling. And I don't want to be doing scheduling based on, oh, I think it would be good now to keep that show in the back. Unless people tell me that it is okay to keep it as a reserve, then, you know, that's...
Yeah, I do feel for you. I had an idea that, because, I mean, when you've been discussing about the fact that, you know, when the queue gets to zero, the Hacker Public Radio is dead, you know, is that necessarily the case? Or is it just a case of, for though, you know, while there's no shows in the queue, you could, for that day, you could just put out a show recording, a recording of White Noise for say 30 minutes, and maybe that would encourage people then to, because I mean if I came downstairs and turned my telly on and it was just, you know, fuzz on my telly because nobody out there produced any content of any type, you know, I'd maybe start thinking to myself, oh, what? Well, maybe I'm going to produce some content.
Exactly. Well, here's the thing. You come downstairs in the morning and it's your first show. You need to think of a topic. You need to plan because it's usually during the summer holidays when things go low. You're with the you're out camping in the woods. You only hear this episode. You only hear the episode a week later anyway because HPR is traditionally down quite low on the playlists and people's podcatchers. And then we're already playing 3 weeks of silence on the network. So if you're listening for 3 weeks on your telly, how long are you going to leave it before you go, well, let me affect this for a game of snooker, the show is over. Whereas if I'm playing a backup show, and at the beginning of each of those backup shows I say, this is a backup show, we're playing this because we don't have any regular contributions. This is urgent, we need shows coming in or HPR will stop. There are two more other shows in the queue. The following day, there's one more show left. Following day, that's it, HPR is over.
That's what you need, a public announcement, a broadcast.
Oh yeah, there will be a public announcement on these reserve shows.
And I would like to task those people who are contributors and thinking about being contributors, and if you're listening to my voice, you should be a contributor, I'm going to start thinking for this backup queue of sort of a, you know, non-technical, more whimsical, I guess you would say, sort of topic to contribute, because even in the Unix and Unix-like system where a lot of stuff is static, when we're dealing with highly technical topics, a lot of that kind of thing has a shelf life where you might do a recording and it comes up from this reserve queue 2 years, 3 years from now, it may no longer be as current or as relevant. So, excuse me, you know, the best eggs ever sort of topic idea, I guess that's already taken. But, you know, be thinking of things in that sort of neighborhood.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But what I'd also like to say is, I don't know if what you said is 100% correct. If you're reading out how to do Unix pipes or use the ls command or use the man pages, or if you're describing how said grep and awk works, that's going to be as valid today as it was 40 years ago when these commands were originally written. There's absolutely no reason why you can't keep something like that technical in the queue. It's absolutely not a problem. And again, if we get enough of these reserve episodes, these episodes can start playing out. They'll just be playing out a little bit slower. If we can say, we will always keep 20 of these reserve ones around, if as soon as 21 comes in, number one will be released. That's not a problem for me.
Sounds like a good incentive, really. And then anybody who wants to hear one of the ones sitting in the queue, it's more incentive to donate to it.
Yep, perfect.
We could have some vote buttons.
Yeah, I'm a bit reluctant.
Joking.
This voting thing. Sorry, I just don't have any sense of humor this month for some.
Clearly not, Ken. You need to mellow, man.
No,
it's your blood pressure.
I'm very passionate about this. I need the queuing algorithm to be perfect, and I need it to be fair. Just do that for me, Cornomino. Make it better. All right, let's move on from this quagmire that is this. Some of the other suggestions that came up let me see. What did we do? What were we talking about? Voting, yeah. About the...
Well, some people suggested Saturday and Sunday broadcasting, didn't they? And then I think that was very quickly poo-pooed because, you know, like you said, you know, you need some quality time with your family. It's you and just a couple of other people that are putting these podcasts out. So Saturday and Sundays was a no-no.
Yeah, thanks, actually, for bringing that up, Becky. People have suggested the Saturday and Sunday thing for release. And even if we do get the thing automated 100%, then somebody still has to come and verify that the website worked, that the RSS feeds came down, that the AUG MP3 and Speaks and now Opus, or what's it called, Epicanus?
It's Opus, yeah.
opus. Ones will work, that there's nothing gone wrong with the thingy, that there's no mail in the queue, that there's, you know, everything is working. And that's why, like, if you work in a cable industry or in a TV center, or even on a, like, I don't know, 24-hour operation, you have 24-hour operational staff, and I basically don't want to do that. I personally don't want to do it. If somebody else does, that's fine. So that was one thing. The other thing was, well, then why don't we not, you know, just release everything as it comes in, and then when the queue dwindles down to nothing, just let it go. And then when shows get added in, just release them out. And my personal feeling on that one is, and I do feel quite strong on it, is because if you're listening to it builds up trust if you release 5 shows a week. If you say you're going to release every second Tuesday, like Sunday Morning Linux Review, they release every week on Sunday morning, that's it. The Linux and Tech Show comes out on a Thursday, every single Thursday, that's it. Dan and Fab release every 2 weeks. Ubuntu UK release every 2 weeks. There's a lot of consistency there. And even if you take somebody like Tattoos, New World Order, he is now releasing on a particular schedule. He will stop for a season, start up again, and stop for a season, start up for again. It builds up trust in you know what we're doing, and people will take us seriously, and people will know, yeah, we're a network. Now, I don't know. That's my personal feeling, but other people can have views on that if they wish. Obviously, nobody does.
Well, definitely, five days a week is the goal, and. Said we can see already how it's feast and famine. That's when it came up, said, oh well, let's do 7 days a week so the shows get released, and here we are only a few short weeks later, and we're sort of looking at our own mortality, another 2-3 weeks of shows probably with the regularly scheduled stuff thrown in.
Yeah, something like that. So there you go. That's the way it is. But yeah, what I did want to talk to people listening to this, if you've made it this far into the an hour and 28 minutes in, the original post that I wanted to was ask that we would perhaps instead of people having to bother about encoding shows with the upload that. Into the different feeds, that we would just accept one FLAC file coming in. And I don't think anybody has had much of an issue with that.
Yeah, if anybody would, it would be me, because you guys know I've got the slow bandwidth and my up is about 50% of my down. And I think I uploaded a 200 meg FLAC of Linux Basics when Dor wasn't there to him, and I think it came out a 200 meg file, and it probably took 3 hours for it to go. So, but it's not like I'm contributing a show a week or something like that, or that I use my up speed for much of anything, and I can certainly let the computer sit there. And it may be a difference if I do 3 shows this weekend, I may upload them on 3 different days rather than all 3 together. If the FTP server starts to time out as I'm uploading, then I'm bogged to go.
I think this is where I jumped on the mailing list with my KISS analogy, you know, the keep it simple, stupid. Because, you know, whilst people are, you know, comfortable uploading shows and they're sort of like seasoned podcasters, you know, for someone who isn't, you just want the easiest possible method to do it. You know, WAV, FLAC, OGG, you know, I have no idea. I just want to hit a button, say what I've got to say, and then be able to either email it up. So for me, some of the mailing list conversation almost became too technical, and you're all worrying about the minutiae of detail over how we're going to get these episodes up, whereas actually we just need to encourage people to record them and as easily as possible.
Absolutely, which is why on the contributing on the mail, on the main website, if you go to the main website, you'll have the call-in number, which is you pick up the phone, you talk, In fact, if you go to Hacker Public Radio /contribute, so it says, want to record a show? The quickest way to get started is dial the number. In the US, 206-203-5729. You say your show, you press the pound sign, and it will magically appear. In the UK, you dial 0044-023-432-5879. You say your show, you press the pound sign, and that's it. Or hash sign in the UK, obviously. So it couldn't be simpler than that. Anything else, if you're recording it on a portable media player, you can email it to us. This is 100% clear. Yeah, you don't have to have show notes or anything else. But if you are going to do it in Audacity, then the next level of person who kind of wants to do that themselves, then they we will include instructions on how to do that on the website as well. So we will be searching for everybody. And Epicanus, this is where I want you to come in after 5150.
I was just going to say, I think perhaps it should be pointed out, as you've always said, Ken, that the standard is that's intelligible, that we can hear it, and it's of interest to geeks, which if you're a geek, then clearly it's something of interest. But we may want to put out, these are guidelines for the people who are technically comfortable, you know, being able to do these guidelines, but don't let that be a barrier to contributing. If you're not, if you look at that page and that, or those instructions, and those seem a little beyond you, please just do it in the way that you're comfortable with, and you know, not to put too much on you, because we always do, Ken, but you know, we'll send it to us and we'll deal with it as is.
Oops, sorry, forgot to press unmute there. Absolutely, couldn't agree with you more. On the website, it is going to be, it is like that right now. If you look, you can see, want to record a podcast. It's very, very simple. That's what you do. Just save it some way and send it in to us. And what I'd like to do as well is do some how-to videos and stuff. Epicanus, can you give us a rundown on following on from your show on discussions on the mailing list, what you're planning on doing, and can you give people a link as well?
Oh, okay, yeah. What I've been working on is a web page that you could use to upload the upload your submissions, and it's got a form on it that sort of guides you through what information HPR needs in order to post the audio, and I'm still working on that. But you can see what I've got so far. If you go to hpr.dogphilosophy.net/hprup.php, and you can take a look at the form that I put together so far and see if it makes any sense, if it makes things simpler, that kind of thing. I've got it set up so if you hover over any of the text, it should pop up with a little explanatory box so you can see what the field is for.
Yeah, it's a spot-on idea. And what I'd love to be able to do as well, if somebody has knowledge in how to do that, is have a record now button on the website so that, you know, you want to desperately record a show, you can press the record now. Two other things that was... sorry, Epicanus, anything else you want? Do you want to talk about the transcoding now, or shall we move that all over to the development mailing list?
I would leave that on the mailing list for now. I was actually thinking about doing that as part of the follow-up episode that I was planning to do to the last one that I did. I've got about three topics lined up now that I'm juggling between, trying to decide which one to do next. As far as the transcoding, from my perspective, the only question I still have is, are we going to require just one file, or can we still do the entire pre-encoding ourselves and just upload them ready to queue?
Well, I think as Bo Bex mentioned there, that's complicated for the general everyday user. But if you're going to a professional podcaster like, I don't know, Dan or Klaatu or yourself, in fact, being one of the few people, including myself who doesn't do it, being one of the few people, excluding myself, who actually submits shows according to the spec that everything is done properly. If I always want to make that option open for people so that you can even secure copy them up along with the encoded XML file in Atom format. Everything done, then there's nothing that needs to be done on our side. But that brings up the question again, do we then make use of the other topics? So can I just go back to the other topics that we were going to discuss that was in the issues? So issue one was the FLAC. Issue two was, do we endorse the idea of HPR being used as a way to promote other shows? What do you think of that, folks?
Oh, definitely on that. I mean, and that's, again, that's more work for you. Of course, it could be automated, but to I've always thought that when we went into the 1000 and the 1024, that we were putting out promos for other shows to play, and at the time, I was wishing that there was a way we could work out to reciprocate.
Exactly, and I know there has been Corba too has given some feedback about this topic that he didn't want to see it. But what I felt myself is that HPR coming back from, if you trace it all the way back our lineage, the whole point of it has been to promote the idea of hacking to people and to get more people involved, get more media out there into the commons. And so I think it's one of our real core values is promoting other shows, getting other people involved in podcasting. Ideally, somebody who was thinking of podcasting and decides to put out a show on HPR gets their technical thing down and then goes off and starts their own show. That, to me, is a success. So, yeah.
Well, yeah, I've always... over here, we have these offices called incubators where you can get cheap office space, almost just like a cubicle, to start your business. And I've always thought of that way, that HPR is sort of that. Or for somebody like me who's not willing to make a weekly or a monthly commitment to doing a podcast, but still wants to get their voice out there for what they can afford to make time to contribute.
Exactly. That's...
Unmute, Ken.
I'm just waiting for the clock to finish, and then truncate silence will do its magic. But now there's an unmute, Ken, so I'm going to have to leave in the reference there for people. Yes, I really think it's one of our main missions here is to promote other shows. And even at Odd Camp, one of the biggest catches for people was they were kind of wondering what the hell HPR was and, you know, trying to run past. And one of the big gotchas, ways that we were able to hook them in was by giving the list of current active podcasts with the most current at the top and then tailing off towards the end. And that's, you know, all you had to say was, do you want the list of current podcasts? And obviously people were there because of podcasting. And then, you know, you could go, oh, here's a list. I didn't know about this. You're interested in that. Yeah, what do you do? And then the topic. And if you're ever interested in doing a show about this thing that you're passionate about, here's our business card. Here's Hacker Public Radio. This is what we do. We're part of the community, blah, 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 blah. And we're supporting you. So it's been a big one like that. Anyway, I was also suggesting that we would play promos from other shows at the end of our show. And I think that is unlike it, like on the Linux and Tech show where they play all the promos every week, I think it would be probably limited to, you know, one promo per episode would be sufficient. But other shows do play our promos, so it would be nice for us to return the favor, as you mentioned.
Yeah, so basically the promo would be tacked onto the end after the outro. Is that where that would go?
Yeah, exactly.
A little quid pro quo seems appropriate.
Yeah, and I mean, as soon as somebody hears the, you know, the outro plus whatever thing you want to put on, then at the end there's like a promo. Oh, harmful.
And if anybody's that? Yeah, if anybody's terribly offended, they can always hit the next button on their player.
Absolutely, and you bring up perfectly the next point, which is the fact that Hacker Public Radio produces quite a lot of shows. A lot of people get a lot of, like, we have, I don't know, how many gigabytes. If you go to the syndication page, I keep it pretty much up to date. We have 17 gigabytes on the AUG feed, we have 7 gigabytes on the Speaks feed, and we've got 21 gigabytes on the MP3 feed. So we produce a lot of shows. So what people have said to me in the past is, Ken, I just can't keep up with them. And there's a sense of guilt at not knowing what shows, you know, you just unsubscribe to the entire feed because, yeah, there are a few interesting shows, but a lot of the shows I'm just not interested in. So what I was thinking about doing was putting in a short text-to-speech summary. So using Ask the People when they're supplying the show, and Epicanus has added a field in the upload form, which would be used then to send out to Twitter and whoever to say, HPR's today's show is this. Boom, away it goes. But it would be done with either narrated or a text-to-speech version of that, which would say, today's show is about the best eggs in the world. Oki describes the best eggs in the world. So you would then at least go, okay, I'm not interested in that, press delete, or yes, I am interested in that. Another good advantage of doing something like that is, of course, sometimes the different types of shows that comes out, some of them are roundtable discussions that you can listen to while you're on the bus. More of them require you to be behind or having access to a computer to follow along, say like Sigflop compiler episodes. You kind of need to be going along with Wikipedia there to follow that show. A lot of my stuff, you're just as well deleted and move on. So it also gives people an option to go, okay, well, I'll skip that until I'm doing the dishes, or I'll listen to that now because it's a music show and I'm at work and I can listen to it.
Yeah, but isn't a lot of that time going to be redundant from the title of the show?
Or the summary. Yeah, already in the feed, that is.
Summary's in the feed, but you're on your MP3 player. Don't forget, folks, you know, Joe Blog, myself, is on the bus. I don't have access to anything. I'm just listening with one earbud in. I'm stuffing chickens in a factory, or I'm driving a crane. I don't necessarily have an internet access. All I have is my MP3 player, which may or may not have a display on it.
Yeah, I agree.
Yes, but
actually,
didn't you already?
I listen to all of my podcasts without my computer. You know, it's either on the way to work or while I'm doing something in the kitchen or whilst I'm walking the dog. I won't have a computer in front of me whilst I'm listening to them.
Okay, well, would asking everybody to start their episode with a short summary about what is going to transpire, wouldn't that be a little less jarring than doing it with a text-to-speech?
Okay, now I'm going to become very my own. Warning, everything now is definitely my own personal opinion. The text-to-speech thing is very useful in that it is currently so crap on Linux. The text-to-speech implementation is so crap, it's like as if you're running, what was that CDE or that desktop that Sun had on Solaris? Anyone?
Yeah, CDE, common desktop environment. Yeah.
Yeah, CDE.
That is where the audio desktop for our listeners who are listening to the show, your comrades, your fellow hackers who happen to be visually impaired for one reason or another, that is the level of bling that they have. We're not talking about 3D rotating cubes. We're talking about them having a fucking CDE desktop as far as the quality of their audio goes. If you listen to Apple's Siri, that is how far it can be. And we can take it even further than that. And how we do it is we get more eyes on the bugs. And the one way that we can get more people's eyes on the bugs is by putting in text-to-speech and making a point that every time we use text-to-speech at the end of the episodes, we say, thank you for listening to Hacker Public Radio. This made use of text-to-speech. My voice is crap. Please support the Accessible Computing Foundation. Blah, blah, blah. Who will then use their money to improve my voice? Okay, end of political rant. Thank you very much.
Sounds good to me.
Who listens to CC Hits here, by the way?
Not so much. I tend to listen to the records that get submitted to CC Hits through other podcasts like the Bugcast.
Yeah, but he uses the Lynn, the voice from that Dave Yates used as well. And Dave Yates used that voice, and it wasn't that bad. Okay, initially he speaks voice is pretty crap, but there you go. But I don't know, if people are so jarred by it, I can also record my voice doing the summary, but again, it's more work on my part. I don't particularly want to do that. I would love a tolerable text speech at the beginning. It's actually two lines. It wouldn't be that much, but again, this one is completely and totally entirely up to the community to I have no opinion otherwise other than my normal opinion. The rest about the queue and stuff, I have personal experience of edge cases that I can give more of an input. Sorry, for the last hour, Ubuntu on this machine has been popping with package update, and I've been clicking it to go away, and it keeps coming up and up and up and up and up. Boy, this is going to be crunched banged very shortly.
Don't do it.
Well, as soon as I get Razor QT working, then yes. Okay, sorry, that was item 2B. So a lot of contention about that one, blah, 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 blah. 2C is, oh yes, text-to-speech of announcements that come in via Identica, Twitter, or email or something. So one of the things that we have is feedback. It's like you release shows into a vacuum and you never get feedback from it. Wouldn't it be cool if we had a way of people, after you submitted a show, so on a Monday, that if people tweet to great HBR show, blah, 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 or I liked your show, correction, this was that, or you might also want to look at something else, just short little messages, either coming in via email, coming in via Identica, Twitter, something like that, or even a web form that would be text-to-speeched and put at the end of the outro or something, or just before the outro. What do you reckon?
So just before the promos?
Well, I don't know. Don't worry about exactly where they would be. They would be at the end.
Before the promos, yeah, probably.
Any feedback's good.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say that any feedback's good in any format, surely. So if it's more accessible.
Now, I was wondering, are people actually doing that now? Are there actually Twitter comments saying, oh, this episode was great, or whatever?
There are. There's a comment system on the current website, which is going to be replaced, I'll say shortly, but anyway, it will happen. It's not a great comment system. It's completely overrun by spammers. I need to monitor it at all times. There's probably security vulnerabilities in it. We need to get rid of it. There will be a WordPress feedback system, but what for those, even those ones, feedback, they tend to be like paragraph chapters of text. What I'm more thinking about here is something, oh, I've just listened to the show, and I'll send a tweet, good show, you know, or something, nice topic, something, you know, short little one-liners that somebody who's released a show gets immediate sense of feedback the following day or during the week. It would be an easy one to do. Just thought it'd be cool. Fine. If you don't think it's a good idea, go play with one. So.
Well, I was just wondering though, if you, that's would be good for the people who listen to every single episode. But as you've said, there's people who go through and they cherry pick the topics that they think are interesting, or they're really going to be interesting if they avoid episodes by 5150 because all his stuff is rubbish, and then, you know, so at some time a week after that episode is aired, somebody puts in a comment and it comes out at the end of an episode of that is completely unrelated, is that just going to annoy them?
Yeah, good point, but I don't know if that's good enough a point not to do it though.
If you put it at the end, would be better in that case.
So you could fast forward to the end and just play the comments.
You probably wouldn't want to do it on hashtag basis. The because I'm just looking now. I've just done a search for HPR on the hashtag, and there seems to be some sort of
there's a race
topic.
Track somewhere.
Yeah, because someone's put this class sucks. It's damn early HPR. This guy is shit HPR. There's a load of stuff like that you probably don't want.
Yeah, I'll put up a separate account called HPR feedback or something.
You're also going to have the problem of before each one, because most people are not, unless everybody who comments knows that this system is up there, and then they direct their comments to a particular episode and a particular author. If you just have a little short comment, well, that was a great episode, when you hear that, you're not going to know what episode they're referring to unless you also have an automated fill in that says this was termed ducking by 5150.
Yeah, I mean, you're bringing up very, very valid points, but there are technical issues that need to be resolved, but which could be resolved by putting in, you know, you email feedback at Hacker Public Radio and you go hash 1150, so you know you're giving comments back on 1150. And then if there's a lot of comments coming in, we could then read the following are comments for episode 1150, which was a show by Pokey about the best eggs in the world, and give all the comments about those.
I wish you'd stop winding me up about that best eggs in the world
episode. Smoky bacon. And then the following are comments on episodes 1153, which was the best bacon in the world by 5150, and give those. So it's technically solvable, but I want to open it to the community. Is this something that we want to do or not?
Yeah. Well, first off, Dor is the bacon authority, so I would leave that one to him. But I'm wondering if it might be more appropriate to play these comments at the end of the monthly review. And you'd have to have a hashtag in there, something that would translate 1150 into an actual episode name and author, because I don't have memorized which the numbers of my episodes, so it might I'd have to go back and look and see if they were talking to me or talking to someone else. And go back, he keeps going after you, Philip, on the best eggs. Something that came up earlier, if someone wants to put in a reserve episode that can explain said and awk to me so that I can understand it, I'm pulling that one out of the feed.
Which brings up another question that, by the by, if anyone ever has a problem coming up with an idea for a show, please come on this show. Please email admin@hackerpublicradio.org. I guarantee you I will find a topic that you can talk to us about. And I would also like a list from people if you have ideas of shows, just like 5150 does. He will no doubt after the show be emailing admin@hackerpublicradio.org with, in the subject, suggestion request for show, and then put that topic in, and we will put it on the contribution page where you can find a list of topics that people have requested to have coming up.
That's a spirit. No more of this Hacker Public Radio dying business.
Well, it's not. It will die soon. Sooner.
No, it won't. It can. It's not going to.
The world will end at some point.
No, right, Hacker Public Radio will be a zombie.
All right. That was issue D2 advertisements. Oh yeah, it was text to speech. Then we also had the advertisement. People like the idea, and I think so. This one has actually been sorted in the mail list, but again, people want to comment, that's fine as well. The advertisement, the intro and the outro, people like to have the option to add their intro and their outro and do stuff to it, so put something at the back and at the front, and I completely agree with that, that's fine. And in Epicanus's form, he has added the option to tell us whether the intro and outro have been added, so we know whether to add it or not. So in order to make the intro and outro more generic, we would be separating this show is sponsored by, currently, if you are downloading it via a normal feed, it would be, this show is sponsored by Lunar Pages, blah blah blah, all about the Lunar Pages, and we really need to do that because they're giving us a massive discount on our hosting. But say, for example, we were distributing via archive.org, then it would make sense to replace that advertisement on the files that we upload to them to say, this show has been made available via the resources of archive.org. Please consider sponsoring archive.org by going over here. So I don't think anyone has a particular problem with that suggestion as such, either that we would separate that out from a separate outro, which deals more about you've been listening to Hacker Public Radio, Hacker Public Radio's blab from Infonomicon, and keep a generic outro.
Well, in that case, least. I think you're going to have to automate at least the outro. You might let people do their own intro or pick their own intro from the various ones. But if you're gonna separate it out and not do manual editing on your end, Ken, it's almost going to have to be incumbent that the outro is edited by your script, or I mean not edited, but added by your script. So you're going to have to start telling everybody, well, don't put the outro.
No, the outro can still be there. If the outro doesn't have the reference to the sponsor in there, be it whoever they are, then the outro can be added by the show host. And then either at the very beginning or at the very end, we can say, you're listening to Hacker Public Radio, brought to you by Lunar Pages, blah, 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 blah. Or at the beginning and end, we can have a separate, you know, this would be a separate file that we would tag on at the very beginning or at the very end, which would say, you're listening to Hacker Public Radio, Hacker Public Radio is brought to you by archive.org.
And then, okay, I understand that it'll just be audio.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Okay, and again, if you have an issue with that, that's fine. But we do not have an option about not having that sponsor in there. That has to be in there. That's kind of the deal with Book Crawl. So that
again, that's only fair.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So let me see. What else do we have on the mailing list this month? That was about that. We talked about the voting and stuff. We apologized to Byer Brown. I completely messed up this month. Actually, I put out a show on Thursday, a syndicated Thursday show out on a Tuesday, and the Tuesday show out on Thursday. That was because of, I blame my wife, actually. She was working that night, so I thought it was Thursday, but anyway. I would also like to request that people switch to the OGG feed as well, or Epicanus, can we talk on the discussion list about quickly getting shows to what was that new format? Opus or
Opus, yeah.
Opus. So let's talk about that. But at the minimum, there's far too many people subscribed to the MP3 feed. I know we only had an MP3 feed for a long, long time, but can we please move off that and onto the OGG feed? It's currently at about, what is it, about 1/4 of the people are on OGG, 3/4 are on MP3. And only
would that reduce the hosting obviously reduce the resource, or would it reduce the cost to the people providing the hosting to us, is this more a political deal?
It's a political deal, this purely political. After Epicanus's episode and an upcoming episode that you'll hear hopefully next week or the week after, it kind of makes sense. It supports what we're doing. We're all about free, we're all about the commons, I guess. And yeah, if people want to subscribe to the MP3 feed, it's not going away, it's there. But at this stage, as was stated again, the majority of media players support OGG. If you're in a position that it doesn't matter whether you play an OGG or MP3, we have the OGG feed available. Please use it. That's all I'm saying. And that is pretty much it. I'll have a quick chat. Oh yes, there was talk of Euro stickers. There's more stickers available. Philip, you have some Crunchbang stickers done. They're like small little booklets of 6 little stickers that you got for Crunchbang, and yeah, they're kind of really nice. Can you talk to us about those? I was thinking of getting some of them.
Yeah, sure. I just ordered them from, they're called Sticker Books, and you can get them from moo.com. They're relatively cheap. I think it must be about 90. You get about 90 stickers in a book, and I think the books are probably, well, the cheaper, the more you buy, obviously, the cheaper they are. But I bought hundreds and hundreds of them for about £20 or something. So they're pretty good. And they're good quality stickers as well. I mean, I've got this Crunchbang one on where I rest my palm, and you know, there's no fading on it or anything like that, so it's pretty good.
Yeah, I really like them. They're kind of very professional looking ones. So we've got some excellent artwork from RF Quirin. And also Tlatu's got some artwork. If you go to hackerpublicradio.com/media, you will be able to browse the directories for all this good stuff. There was talk as well of looking for the HPR Euro sticker, which is kind of nice. I know Pokey got those done. It'd be nice to see if we could get some more of them. I'm actually basically all out of stickers, and I wanted to get some for FOSDEM. Yes, folks, FOSDEM is coming up, and I'm not going to be able to go because I have a back operation 3 weeks beforehand, so I won't be able to walk. So Dave Morris will be going, and if there's other people available to help out there, that would be fantastic. If somebody else wants to contact other podcasters, it would be probably no harm to have like just a podcast table as opposed, sorry, an algcast table as opposed to a just Hacker Public Radio only one. But if anybody's
Ken,
in Europe, yeah,
I do know a podcaster that's going.
You know who?
Matt from TDTRS, Matt Copperwaite. He's definitely going to FOSDEM.
Fantastic. If he was interested in that sort of idea, I was thinking maybe of talking to Dan and Fab as well, and the Ubuntu UK guys and whoever else.
Fab's not going, I know that.
Yeah. Dan seemed to...
Yeah, I'm not sure about Dan. I can definitely contact Matt and talk to him about our conversation and maybe put him in contact with you.
Yes, and can you also have a word with him about the New Year's show as well, if you could kind of promote that among people?
Yeah, we'll do.
Yep. So I am hoping to go down maybe for one day or something just to see, but I don't know if I'll be able to. We'll have a look. And with that, I will see if there's anything else. If I haven't been very busy on the mailing list and I think I've missed somebody's show by the look of it. So if anybody is sitting there going, why isn't my show in the queue or whatever, you should at least, when you put your show up into the FTP server, you should see it moving into the processing queue. I don't add it to the list until it's encoded and the show notes are done, because that's a rule that I have. But once it's added to the list, it will get added in the order of which it came. Does that make sense? Take your silence.
Ken, it's Becky. In case I want to record another show, or if I actually finally get my husband to do one, can you email us the FTP server details so that we can upload it ourselves?
Yeah, sure, no problem.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, and there's a lot of interesting stuff going on the development mail list with regards to the Epicanesis upload form, which hopefully will get sorted. I also would like to switch. I made quite a lot of changes to the back-end website as well, hopefully trying to close a few holes that were open. I would like to switch the beta .hackerpublicradio.org feed from RSS to being based on Atom. Once that's done, I'd like to run it for a week or two and then essentially switch the main website to using WordPress. The reason I don't want to make the switch before I move to Atom is because Atom is a better format, and that's what we're going to be using. It supports better times and the roundtable discussion things that we're doing. And if I base it on RSS now, if I make the switch now and people start adding comments to the database, then we have a migration of the comments from there as well as the migration from the comments from the existing comment system. So it would be more work. So unfortunately, I now have more time than I had planned to have. So we will maybe be seeing some progress on that. Anyone else got anything else?
Well, I just wanted to say earlier, Becky mentioned me in the sentence with Pokey and Claw 2, and that was very kind. I just don't know why I've enjoyed a compliment so much.
Oh, bless you. It was my pleasure.
Yeah, I'd just like to take this opportunity while we're giving each other compliments to say a massive thank you to a certain Ken Fallon for keeping Hacker Public Radio alive and doing a great job. I know it has, negative effects on your blood pressure and stuff, mate, so I think you're doing a brilliant job. Keep it up.
Thanks and all, but I would, as I say, it's my firm intention to replace myself with a script, and that script will be fair and just, so that's the plan. But no, it's very, it is very rewarding, Hacker Public Radio, I must say.
I think you should name your script ken-fallon.sh.
Never, ever, ever type that on a server that I'm on. Or x.txt. We should never run that either. Okay, unless anybody's got anything else, that is pretty much it. This should be out on Monday. There's a 5151. Then there's Pokey. Then there's Klaatu Returns with Network Basics. And then we have Blue Navigum in my bill with the Wayback Machine. And yes, And it goes on. But folks, we are short of shows. So if you're taking anything away from the discussions that we had here, it is, without shows, HPR dies. Dies a slow and horrible death.
No.
You better record one then, Philip.
Shit. Okay.
All right.
I'm going to make him do one tomorrow.
Yes. It's not
even if he doesn't know I'm recording it.
And for all of you who procrastinate out there, I had the idea of the procrastinator's queue. So what you do is you get drunk, you record a show and you send it to me, and I promise not to play it, provided we have shows in the queue.
That would be fun.
Hiya, Paranoid Shell. How's it going?
I'm doing good. How are y'all?
Not too bad.
Ken, if you want a blackmail show, you just need to sneak in here and record after we finish Pod Brewers on Friday nights.
You tell you what you do. You just send me the outtakes for all of those, and I'll add them to the queue, and then we just email people saying, we've got your show here. We won't release it.
See, I had the thought of just attaching a Sansa clip somewhere about my person discreetly, and then like recording almost like a day in the life of, whereas other people don't know that you're recording them, but then I'll probably get done for that.
Yeah, they get very annoyed when you do that. Very, very annoyed. Not that I have
any... Not if it's your husband and your daughter. Some of the conversations we have.
Yes, that would be priceless, Lissy, I can assure you. Okay, this is now 2 hours, 12 minutes, 29 seconds, including the silence, so...
And we've had no dinner.
Oh, you poor things.
Ken, I've got the additional 12 minutes that you can use as a blooper if you want, mate.
No, it's fine. Thank you very much. I don't edit shows, Phil. You should know that by now.
Yeah, I do.
Just slapped in, intro, outro, we're done. I'd appreciate people who are expert in audio codecs and Corba 2 and, yeah, just getting on the dev list so that we can nail down the technical details of what we distribute. Because I know that Bubba Beck says we shouldn't involve people, or you know, we want to keep it as simple as possible. The sad fact is when you do send out a OGG file or an MP3 to so many people, so many different players, there's an awful lot of things that can go wrong that we need to watch out for. So but we've got an awful lot of tips from other podcasters as well about what to do and what not to do, what to include. So all that needs to be taken into account. So there you go. That's pretty much it. Join the mail list, contribute a show, tune in tomorrow for another exciting episode. Hacker Public
Radio.
Radio.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HPR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All Binrev projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.